breakfast, and it was a laundry list of everything that I have ever liked. And I was like, one meal? I told her, listen, I have to like space this out. I have multiple meals to eat today. If I eat all this, I'm done, right? Still had sausage, biscuits, and gravy, one of my favorites, and I was pretty much done for that day, right? But I was, I had my naps, I had my time, I had, you know, Thanksgiving to me is a lot of fun. Being with family is a lot of fun, but I understand sometimes it can be super stressful, right? Family can be stressful, life can be stressful around it, and today we're going to talk about a situation that was super stressful. I've been talking about Saul and Samuel from 1 Samuel, if you remember 2 weeks ago, and how Samuel was kind of forced by the people. They wanted the king. And God said, all right, give him a king, right? And gave him Saul, who was kind of like a normal guy, a good-looking guy, but a normal guy. And the people wanted Saul, right? And so they gave him Saul. And we can kind of see how this correlates with life in general. If you have power, what happens usually when you get power? It can go to your head, right? Well, it went to Saul's head. And if you remember, God had told him, instructed him not to do something, and did it anyway, and then he built an idol to himself, and then it became all about Saul, right? We talked about this 2 weeks ago, and how in that, in knowing that he created this issue for himself, he was out of God's will. And God decided, okay, you had your shot at being king. I'm going to appoint another, right? And we're going to talk about David and Saul's relationship, which can be found in David and Saul, 1 Samuel 18 through 30. I'm going to say not 18:31, but I'm going to cover chapters 18 through 31 a little bit. But before that, we're going to talk about David and Goliath really quick. And we kind of get hung up in that story. Anybody heard of David and Goliath? Who hasn't heard of David and Goliath? I love it. All right. Good deal. Well, Goliath was this Philistine who was one of the, like, just huge, gigantic of a man, of a human being. Kind of like just the stature of a person that you're like, okay, I'm never going to. You walk around his shadow because you're nervous around him, all right? He's just one of those big, tough guys. He challenges all of Israel. Hey, if you send one person out here that can defeat me, we'll bow down to you, right? And nobody challenged him. And he did this for 40 days. Can you imagine having the guts for 40 days straight to just come up, let's do it, let's battle. And I challenge you, bring out your one person, and I'll beat him up. I'll kill him. Bring it. Like, it was that plain, right? If only we could have wars like that today. Like, it's just this one person and just challenging another person, and we just send somebody. Good luck, right? Nobody wanted this. All of Israel's army had nothing to do with it, right? And Jesse, who's this dad of all these boys, and some of them were over there in the battle. And so he had one son that was there tending to the sheep. And he wanted to send his son to get the information of what was going on. All right, that's how they gained it. They didn't have cell phones back then. They didn't have any form of technology where they can communicate. They sent each other on this kind of like Pony Express just to find out what was going on. So he sent his son with all these supplies, wanted to hear about what was going on, right? And then David gets there, and I forgot something about Goliath. He challenged not just the men of Israel, but he challenged the God of Israel. He said, if you guys truly believe that your God is the only God, if you truly believe that God has got you, then send somebody out that will represent your God, right? Man, for 40 days that nothing happened, right? And David comes along. Now, David was not a very strong, he didn't have the stature of like somebody that you're like, you would want to go to war with. Just kind of this young kid, and he finds out what's going on. He's like, what's going on here? How are you guys doing? And his brothers tell him, hey, this is the situation that we find ourselves in. And his first words, nobody's gone out there yet? And his brother is like, how dare you? How dare you? You're so conceited. And this is such an interesting part of the story, right? Because if we have confidence in God, many people construed that with being conceited, right? But David had confidence in his God. And he decided, hey, I'll do it. And became a voice so loud that they couldn't ignore it. And he went out there, and plainly, he defeated Goliath with no problem. Right? Took some stones, whipped it at his head, and then it gets really graphic, right? Just let it be known that he won. But he did not do this out of pride for himself. It's easy in this moment to go, wow, he's going around and showing everybody his victory. And if you want to know how he went around and showed everybody his victory, I challenge you to read the scriptures. Read 1 Samuel. It's better than movies, right? It's quite a story, right? And he defeated this man who was a monster of a man quite easily. And he held up his reward, held up his victory in a form of, this is what my God can do. That's some confidence right there. Before we move on to anything else, can you imagine if we approach today's issues with that kind of confidence that every time I go into a situation that I understand God's got my back, that I'm doing this to glorify God in all these actions. Every issue, every problem that I face, I know God's got me. Whether I'm victorious or not, God's got me. Can you imagine living life with that kind of confidence? It would be amazing to have no worries. Like David went into that fight where for 40 days, men had no desire that were warriors to fight this person. They were afraid for everything. Their life, everything. David was like, I'm so confident that my God is so good. He's got me. I'm good. Let's go out and do this. Imagine facing the world that we live today with that kind of confidence, knowing that God has our back. Knowing God's ahead of us in this. And when there's victory, who gets the praise? See, the world is waiting for us to have this kind of stance, to show this kind of love, to show this kind of determination of following God. And it's not a desire to be meek, it's this desire to be understanding that this message is more important than anything else. That Jesus Christ died on the cross for me, and everybody needs to know what he did for them. And we share it with love and gentleness and kindness. Those are our stones, right? So David does this and has come back, and like he's a hero amongst the people, right? And then Saul, who's the king, who has been at this time, God has said, listen, we're going to find a new one. But he's still acting king. Nobody else really knows that there's going to be another king. He kind of knows, hey, I've done wrong. I'm trying to make it right, but it's really, I'm trying to do it for myself. I still want this power. He doesn't want to give it up, right? So Saul sees that David's victorious and wants some of it and makes him his commander and goes out and sends him out to be this warrior for him. And David is so successful. And what's awesome about David is in this, he's not wanting any of the praise. He wants it to go to his king and he wants it to go to his God. Right? Saul, on the other hand, starts to develop some major jealousy, major worry about who David is and what's going to happen. Like he was starting to see the writing on the wall. He was starting to see that this isn't going to be a good thing for me, right? And instead of following God's word, instead of following what God wanted, he was all about himself. And basically, God left Saul. And it was one of those moments Saul's heart went straight dark. And all he could think about is the darkness of what he was going to lose. Right? And I think we live in a world that is void of God and is only concerned about itself. And we are called to be friends. We are called to be ministers. We are called to be out there to be warriors amongst them. for God and them. So this is what happens. First off, David becomes really good friends with Jonathan, who is Saul's son. Like super close friends, like brothers that close. That Jonathan looks at him and listens to his father and goes, oh no, my dad hates you, David. Wants you dead, David. I don't want that. And it's one of those, you probably sit at the table at Thanksgiving and have an argument. Like, Dad, come on, man. Don't you see that David is loving on you? He's a good and faithful servant of you. And it's an argument. And to the point, like, Saul is throwing spears at him. You ever have a lunch where somebody's throwing something at you that you're like could cost you your life? I haven't yet. Been close. Right? But that's what happened. And Jonathan knew, okay, this is real. My dad really has a problem with David. So he told him to get going. And not only was that they were brothers, like in their eyes, guess what also happened in this time too? David married one of Saul's daughters, which was a huge, like in Saul's eyes, okay, I've got him now. I know where he'll be. I know how to interact with him. And he sent him off to wars to not win those wars. He sent him off into wars that he thought he would be killed. Right? That's what his hope was. Right? So that he wouldn't have to battle this future king that was going to rule over him. Now, there was something that was said that the people were chanting that really just lit a fire in Saul. Right? It was this. You can find it in 18:7. It says, Saul has slain his thousands, and David has slain tens of thousands. They would sing this in the streets. They would sing this around. And can you imagine? Weird song, first off, right? Saul has slain his thousands. David has slain his tens of thousands, right? It's kind of a weird thing to think about. But it just dug into Saul's ego, his worry about his leadership, and it just kept there, and he had to remind everybody he's the king, right? And that's not how God was going to have this. And this is one of those things, like, have you ever been, I think I could see it in siblings, you're the sibling that gets all the praise and the other sibling gets nothing? Anybody ever say, we do that intentionally with our kids. I let them know which one's my favorite. Just kidding. I don't do that. Oh. But no, like this is one of those moments like that, right? And David was probably sitting there going, please stop. My king is the king. I want to honor that. Right? So Jonathan and Michal, his wife, let David understand, hey, you need to be on the run. You need to leave us because my dad is going to kill you, right? So he was gone. He was on the run. And while he was on the run, this is what's crazy, is he was still battling the Philistines. He was still going to wars for his king. He was still trying to further the kingdom for his king, right? He was still doing the work, even though he was in this situation that was not called for. He's an innocent bystander, right? Have you ever been in a situation that you did nothing wrong, but the full blame goes on you? It's unfair, it's unjust, it's not right, right? This is David's world. What's amazing is he didn't whine, complain, or run away. He didn't go off and be like, I don't deserve this, right? He did ask God, what's going on? God, you, right? Come on, God, help me out. Which is awesome. God is a God that wants to be involved in our lives. God is the God that wants to hear us cry out to him. God wants to be involved with the pains and the agonies, the unjust of our lives. Right? Does he make it right? Not necessarily. He's going to use you, probably, to make it right. His way, not our way. It's so difficult sometimes. Right? So this is crazy parts of the story. Saul is hunting down David. And he takes a moment in this cave, and he did not know that David and his men were hiding in this cave. And he had his back to them, and David's men were probably whispering to him, "This is our chance. He wants you dead. You're justified. This is what the law of the land says. This is what God would want. You are justified. You should take him out right now." And in that moment, David had this thought, "Yeah, you know what? Yeah." And went up to him, behind him, and as he was probably raising that sword, he decided, "No, this is not what God would want. This is not how God wants me to deal with this. This is my king. He's anointed by God. I do not deal with those who are anointed by God. I do not kill. I don't raise a sword to." And in that moment, even felt guilty raising the sword to him. And he instead chopped off a piece of a corner of his robe and hid back in the cave, unbeknownst to the king, Saul. King Saul walks out. And this is the craziest part of the story. He walks down the mountain, you know, he's with his men, there's a little bit of space, and then David walks out and says, "King, it is I, David, and I hold a piece of your robe. I had the chance to kill you, and I did not. I would have been justified to kill you, but you are my king, and you are anointed by God. Please, why do you come after me? Why am I am innocent. I do not deserve this. Why do you do this? I could have taken your life, but I spared it because I want to follow God." And in that moment, Saul, with all his men around, you ever have those moments that you're just convicted to the wall, that you're just penned, that you have no, like you have, you're right, you caught me. I shouldn't be doing this. That was that moment. That was that moment for Saul, and he repented to him. "You're right, I should not be doing this. And may God have favor on you, and may God have favor on me. And please, when you become king," he knew he was going to become king, "when you become king, have mercy on my family. Have mercy on us. May my lineage still live on." Right? And they went their separate way. And the hope is this, that there's understanding and reconciliation, that they could live together and that they could get back together to have Thanksgiving meals again, to be a family. But David knew. David knew it wasn't over. All right? And there was another attempt on David's life by Saul. He had been hunting him down, and you know, David realized this and found them laying and sleeping on the ground. Right? He had another chance, and he had another ear, like another, his men were in his ear again and said to him, you would be justified to take his life right now. You see, many times we hear of ourselves when we convey from our hurt that we are justified in how we speak. We are justified in how we treat others because they don't treat us like we should be treated. Am I right? It's easy to find ourselves in that. It's easy to, I have that voice in my ear all the time. "Well, they shouldn't have said that to me. How dare them?" Right? I'll let them have it the next time I see them. Right? Just me? Like, we live in this. And we want justice for what has been said and done to us. I don't know if you, anybody work in customer service? Some of you are like, "Don't talk to me, I don't live in customer." You guys probably get more hate than anybody else. And probably 99% of that is not your fault. Right? You are just innocent bystanders. If you had the chance to say whatever you wanted, would it be nice? Would it be caring? Would it be something that you're like, "Hey, I got to go home, and that customer last week that came in, they came back in, and woo, I let them know how amazing they are"? Or would you go home and like, "Man, I had my manager said, go for it. This person deserves it. Just go for it. Have fun." And you just lit them up. Like, you would go home and you're like, "Woo! I got to let them have it. It was so fun. I can take a breath now. This is this moment for David. And I want you to know there's a difference here in this moment. Because David didn't take it. Because he knew the pain and agony that it would cause later for him. You see, there's a couple things. There's only two things that we get to express in our life to people. We get to either express heaven to people, which is love, forgiveness, tenderness, kindness, or we get to bring hell to people. Like, those are our two avenues when it comes to communication. And most of the time, we hide in this area because we feel like we are justified for our actions. And in reality, too, we might be justified. But if we follow God, if we live with God, we have no justification for it anymore. It is in God's hands. And it's God's issues and God's people, and God wants to take care of it. See, what he did was this. The spear of Saul was right next to his head, planted in the ground, and his something else was right there too. And he took both of those things, right? And he ran off in the night, and they had no clue. They're like, where did it go? Where did all my spear go and all that, right? And he saw him from way across the river, and he said, Sin, I've got this. I had a chance to kill you again. And the world and the people that I follow tells me I would have been justified. But my eyes are not on them. My eyes are on God. And I live for God. And I wanted you to know I live for God, and I've done nothing wrong to you. And Saul again understood and said, repeated it, you know, David, you are going to be our king. I'm so sorry. I should not have done what I have done. I should not be after you. Please forgive me. Please don't kill my family. See, there is two worlds here that we're talking about. Saul, his eyes were not on God. His eyes were on the power that this world provides. And he was hungry for it, and it was at the expense of everybody. David's eyes were on God. And everything that he was doing was to represent God before anything else. And the justification he understood was never going to be his. It was in God's hand. Even though he would have had the right to do what he did. Even though we would be righteous in our eyes to say sometimes to things to people that they deserve to be said. If we follow God, we don't say them. We understand when we look at another person, whether we're in customer service, whether we're dealing with cranky people, whether we are dealing with people that are trying to hurt us, that they are the creation of God, and that we are here to give them the same grace that he continues to give us on a daily basis. But it's not easy. It's not easy. And I guarantee for you, you could probably put people's names, people thought, like, just a whole group of people might sit in that genre that God, please take care of them. They deserve this. Smite them. And in 1 Thessalonians, he tells us to be thankful in all circumstances. To have a heart that is thankful in all circumstances. How can you be thankful when you're revengeful? I've noticed the times that I feel like people have done me wrong, the times that I feel like I've been wronged, and it just sits there. I don't know about you, but it just sits there. And then I'm a little bit more edgy every day. I'm a little less patient every day. I'm a little less who I think God has created me every day, because what is on the throne that's being victimized? It's Ben Alexander. But the moment that I put my eyes on God and I realize the prize is so much better when I follow Him, and that all this hurt and anger that I have boiled up inside is released because I trust that God is bigger than what anybody ever says or does or is doing to me. That God is the circumstances of which I live for. Okay? So this story ends really tragically. Concentrating on David this whole time, found himself trapped, right, by the Philistines. He didn't have all his men. He wasn't ready for this because his big concern, his eyes were not on the prize. His eyes were on what he thought he was going to lose. His eyes were on this selfish desire, right, and he was surrounded. And instead of allowing the Philistines to take him, he took his own life. They took his whole family, all his boys. His lineage is wiped. Because his eyes weren't on God. They were on this world and the promises of this world. Right? David, his eyes were always on God, and he loved Saul despite the actions of Saul. You know where that comes from? It didn't come from eternally from David. It came from what God had been doing in his life from day one. And he realized that. He was God's servant before anybody else's servant. Imagine living out a thankful life, always on the run, in fear for it. Church, we live in a world that needs us to be brave, needs us to understand that we live for God, and that we are bold and we're ready to face the Goliath. But the big difference is when we defeat the Goliath, it is for God and nobody else. And the Goliath, to me, is those moments that we don't react the way this world says it's justified to react. We don't hurt back people. We don't engage in a way that is mean-spirited. We don't get our revenge because God has it all in his hands. And we trust God. Do you trust God today? Do you give him the relationships that you know, man, they deserve this word. They deserve this pain. They deserve what's coming to them. Do you give God that relationship? And if so, you understand and you're freed from all the hurt and the anger, because it doesn't have any rule over you, because you're justified by God alone. You seek out your confidence, your understanding of life, not from other people, but from God alone. That is something to be thankful for. That God loves you so much. He's engaged in every relationship with you. He wants to be the ruler of you. He wants to be the protector of you. He wants to be the one that justifies you all the way through. Right? He's going to do the battle. We just get to be part of the army. Are you ready for that? Are you thankful that God is there? Are you thankful that God has put people in your lives like Saul? Because guess what? You can have the opportunity to bring hope. Whereas Saul didn't ever come back, his heart was completely lost. There are people like Saul that need to know the hope of Jesus Christ. And we need to be more like David, that's patient and understands that it is not my right to give them the justification. It is God alone. And I come alongside God, and I fight for God. Be thankful for what God has put you in. Be thankful for the situations that you find yourself, even though they're tough situations, that God's right there beckoning you to be his warrior. And it's not easy. It was not easy for David. And what's cool about relationship between David and God is David asked God quite a few times. Read it. Read Samuel this week. That he's like, God, please redeem this relationship. Please let Saul know that I'm not here to take him, that I'm not here to hurt him, that I want to be his servant. And then there was times, God, is he coming to kill me? Yes, leave. We need to be in tune with God to be his warriors. My prayer is that you're thankful this week. You understand that God has a mission for you and that the only justification that we need is in Jesus Christ. And that the world sees that and sees us live in a different way. May we smile through the adversity. May we care through the anger. May we rely on God when we're hurting. Church, stand with me. This week, this is my challenge for you, is to be a warrior for God and to be thankful for the situations that you find yourself in that God is calling you to battle. All right? Church, go and be thankful. Come back tonight. All right? 4:00. All right, you're dismissed.